Welcome to the NatureVac podcast, where we are talking about climate change and the green economy. My name is Tarmo Virki, and today I'm speaking with William Shamoshegi from SAS Mining. Enjoy the show. Hi, William. Welcome to the NatureVac.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us in a few words, what you're exactly building.
Yeah, we're building a company that makes it easy for anyone to start mining Bitcoin with renewable energy. So we're a Bitcoin mining focused company, and we're allowing anyone to get involved with renewable Bitcoin mining.
So renewable Bitcoin mining, I'm sure that sounds a little bit like oxymoron to some of the people out there. Tell us how it's renewable. What's the green aspect of it?
This is one of my favorite questions, because whenever I tell people what it is that we focus on, everyone thinks Bitcoin mining bad for the environment. And the reality of the situation is I can walk you through a scenario right now. Let's say that you're the CEO of an energy company and you want to build out renewable energy. Well, at the end of the day, the sun's not shining 24 hours a day. The wind's not blowing. The renewable energy sources that you're working with are intermittent. Now, enter Bitcoin mining, you have a buyer of power that can be shut off on a dime, that can generate economic value from that energy that's being produced. And so when you incorporate this with renewable energy projects or intermittent power sources, it makes the economics work. It allows you as the CEO of your renewable energy company to develop more quickly and expand more into renewable energy. I'll give you one final example, which I think is even more powerful on the effect on the environmental front, which is carbon negative energy mining. So same type of scenario. Let's say that you're a CEO, you have a bunch of oil wells and your wells are leaking methane. So as we all know, methane is very bad for the environment. It's 84 times worse for the environment than carbon dioxide. And so you've got a couple of options as the CEO. You could either let it continue to leak, which is obviously a very bad option, or you can pay $100,000-$150,000 to plug up that well. Well, both these options as a businessman, as a CEO, are not very good options. So now enter Bitcoin mining. Instead of leaking or paying $150,000, you can turn that methane that's leaking from a liability into an actual asset. Now, how do you do this with Bitcoin mining? Well, you capture that methane on site to generate electricity and use that to power Bitcoin miners. And this is very unique because you can't put any type of business, let's say, near a leaking well or near a landfill. You probably don't want to locate a hospital near a landfill. But with Bitcoin mining, you have a lot of flexibility. And so these are just some of the things that Bitcoin mining has in terms of benefits for the environment and for the energy sector. And then at SAS Mining, our focus is to say, look, you have this global problem around climate change and the methane issue and the need for more renewable energy sources. What if we built a platform that allows you or anyone else to participate in Bitcoin mining? So you own a hard asset, you generate income over time, you stack more Bitcoin, but then you're also doing it in an environmentally friendly way. And so SAS Mining is like the conduit that allows you or anyone else to actually harness your self-interest in terms of making money through Bitcoin mining, but simultaneously support cleaning up the environment.
Yeah, the carbon negative Bitcoin mining, I'm sure that's going to be the headline of this podcast episode for sure. It should raise some eyebrows among the environmentalists for sure. Tell me, you said that this is quite unique, that kind of technological solution. Is it actually in use already in some parts of the world?
Yeah, so in regards to Bitcoin mining, there's both the renewable and the carbon negative. And so I'm assuming that you're asking about the carbon negative side.
Yes.
This is actually an area that's been growing a lot over the past couple of years. I mean, even ExxonMobil has been exploring this with Crusoe Energy. You've got companies like Vespine. And the way that SAS Mining fits into this is we try and find and partner with these companies that are focused on mining in a responsible way. And by responsible, I mean an environmentally friendly way. And so this is something that's been happening for the past few years. But when you look at the research of people like Daniel Batten or other influencers in the space like Troy Cross, you realize that this is just the beginning. The overall arching narrative in the public eye, they don't know what we're talking about here, that this is something that's actually being used to clean up the environment. But more and more miners are starting to realize that you can actually leverage Bitcoin mining as a tool to clean up the methane problem. And it just economically makes sense. Like going back to the scenario, if you're buying energy to power Bitcoin miners to generate Bitcoin, you want to target the lowest cost energy sources, because the lower cost your energy is, the lower cost it is to produce new Bitcoin. It just makes sense. It's going to be an incentive structure that's going to continue to clean up the environment.
Exactly. And I do understand the logic that with the wind production, there is excess energy, which is, you know, somebody needs to remove it in a way from the equation. So for the wind producer, it might be actually, you know, they might be, you know, willing to pay for somebody actually using it for something useful.
100%. Yeah. At the end of the day, this is like another tool in the toolkit that energy companies are allowed to, not just allowed to, but can benefit from if they learn how to utilize it. And at the end of the day, the role that we're trying to play in it is we're looking at this massive, massive problem. And we said, look, there's a lot of people out there that want to support a cleaner environment. There are a lot of people out there that are looking around and saying, this is a crazy world that we're living in. I mean, look at what's happening in the general markets. Look at just the inflation numbers. Like, money in the bank is melting away. How are people going to protect themselves? And what are the overall trend lines in the global economy? And we think that, you know, the future is a green future in terms of where money's going to go and where development's going to go. And then simultaneously, I'm very, very bullish on the future of digital assets. Particularly when I say digital assets, I mean Bitcoin, especially with a lot of the fractures being seen in the banking system today.
Absolutely. It's been really interesting to see how after the Silicon Valley Bank disaster, the stock markets have continued to tumble while Bitcoin has been rising.
Yeah, and it makes complete logical sense. This isn't like new territory, really. We saw something very similar happen previously. When you turn on, when people lose faith in the traditional system, which is what is happening right now, they're looking for an alternative. I mean, if you got a tremendous amount of wealth that you're trying to protect, and then you start to lose faith in your banking system, well, maybe you want to be able to opt out of that and not have to worry about a counterparty. Many people, you don't worry about counterparty risk with a bank. You think that your money is completely safe. But what these bank failures showed is that at the end of the day, the reserves compared to the amount of money that you have is not lining up. If we want to dive down this path, we can go in more depth. Back in 2020, they passed a law that basically removed the requirement for reserves that banks must have on hand at the bank for depositors. So what's an example? Let's say that you're at a bank, you have $100,000 in your checking account. Before this requirement was removed, the bank needed to have at least $10,000 on hand per that $100,000 in the account. Once the COVID money printing started, things went crazy. There's no way that banks were going to be able to maintain $10,000 per that $100,000 in your checking account. So they removed that requirement. I checked the other day. Guess what the percentage that banks have on hand today, now that that requirement's been removed? Before, they needed to have at least $10,000 for your $100,000 in your checking account. Guess how much it is today?
In the US and Europe, I guess the numbers are different. I think in Europe, it still exists, the requirement, but I'm not sure. I haven't been following the banking sector so closely.
In the US, the average is at 0% for what they have on hand. And all the banks are fragile. I mean, people don't really realize this, but you know, Silvergate, SVB, these banks, yes, they're very vulnerable. All the banks are vulnerable. These banks, there are many other banks with worse looking balance sheets than these banks. But once a bank run starts, then a bank is done. Once people lose trust in the system, because no bank has these large amount, has them all the money on hand at any given point in time. So at the end of the day, they need depositors to leave the money there. But when you have a bank run, there's no way that they can come up with all the money.
Exactly. Tell a few more words about your initiative. How big is the company today? How big a team you have built to change the world?
Yeah, that's a good question. The way that we've structured the company, just like I'm sure many other of the CEOs and entrepreneurs and founders listening have structured it, is you have your full-time W-2, you've got your contractors, and then you might have your partnerships outside of the company. And so at SaaS Mining, we were utilizing all of these different areas. The way that I look at it, the full-time employees, you can almost look at them as like the generals, for lack of a better term. They're very, 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 very passionate about what it is that we're building, but they're extremely, extremely competent and capable, and they're the ones helping run the internal organization. That right now, that number at SaaS Mining is 7 people. But then moving on from that, we've got a number of contractors that help with a lot of other work that SaaS Mining is working on. And then outside of that, we've got the actual partnerships that are involved with actually delivering the product. Because at the end of the day, this is one of the things where I'll ask you the question, actually. Imagine in a world without SaaS Mining, you wanted to start mining Bitcoin right now. How would you do it? Like, how long do you think it would take you? This is a very difficult thing. If you ask anyone this question, even people who are in Bitcoin mining, they don't have an easy answer to this question. And that's because it's going to cost you millions of dollars and many, many months of your time. And at the end of the day, it's very hard for someone to justify spending their most valuable resource, which is their time, on learning how to become a professional Bitcoin miner and do it properly. And so what we realized was you have this large contingent of people out there that, yes, they might like Bitcoin, but they might like the idea of owning a hard asset like a Bitcoin miner and then generating passive income, passive Bitcoin over time from that hard asset. And so that's what it is that we set out to build, because a lot of these people, they don't have the time to go and actually become Bitcoin miners. And we launched this product to that's running at 100% on hydropower in Wisconsin. Currently, as we're talking right now, their customers generating fresh Bitcoin. You just hook up your Bitcoin wallet and the Bitcoin gets deposited directly, that's generated from your machine directly to your Bitcoin wallet. And so we launched that, the facility just filled up, and now we're opening up a wait list for our next facility.
The facility will be another power generation asset, or?
Yeah, the next facility, the way that we go about setting these up is we look at the whole landscape. We look at the different partnerships and the different facilities, and we try and find the best deals for space that are renewable carbon negative facilities, as well as just the best economics possible. Because at the end of the day, the renewable side is extremely important, but the end customer needs to also make a return, right? The end customer needs to be generating Bitcoin at a low enough price, and we need to find the best deal possible. So it's like a whole myriad of factors that we look at to make sure that we're putting the machines in the right places.
In one of the recent episodes, we had a guest from a company called Reneum, which basically it's a financing platform for renewable energy assets in countries like Middle East, or, you know, mostly solar projects in South, where there is a lot of sun available. So maybe it's worth for you guys to check out. There could be some nice collaboration opportunities.
One of the big things that we've been looking at, and I think it goes to the heart of your question, is not just the actual economics, but from a regulatory side, where are you going to put these machines, right? Because at the end of the day, let's say that you had machines out in China, that probably wasn't a good idea, because if you're under a government that is on the scale of corruption, more corrupt or more willing to decimate parts of the economy if it doesn't align with their plans, then you're more susceptible. So to your point that you just mentioned there, we are making sure that we're looking at places where the machines are going to be able to continue to run. We don't want to put it in a place where we're worried about the government shutting down an operation and halting the Bitcoin mining process.
Of course, the last few years have shown the importance of the kind of political continuity in different countries of the world, and also the kind of political stability. What's next for you guys? What's the big thing you're working on at the moment?
Yeah, great question. We've got a couple of initiatives right now outside of trying to get more people aligned with the company, more people up in mining, and getting that next facility fully up and off the ground. We're also, we just opened a campaign with Start Engine. So for people who aren't, who haven't heard of Start Engine, it's like a crowdfunding campaign where people can go on. It allows any of our customers to also not only own access to a Bitcoin miner, but also own part of the equity of SaaS mining. If you want more details on that, we don't have to dive into all the details on this podcast here, but go to startengine.com/SaaS mining and you'll be able to see all the information. There are some awesome benefits too that come along with being a shareholder of SaaS mining that you can find on that website, but I highly encourage people to check it out. I will mention one last thing, that it is a, it isn't like a normal type of investment, like into Apple or something on the New York Stock Exchange. So just make sure that you read through all the information and you'll get everything you need on that page.
Exactly. And all the legal details with you know, investing in early stage companies, that's also worth mentioning.
Yeah. Well, this was one of the things that we saw early on, like at the core of our ethos, like the mission at SaaS Mining is to improve the way humanity relates to money and energy. And especially with what we're doing with mining, we're trying to help decentralize it. We're making it accessible. Instead of needing the millions of dollars, you can get started for the price of a single mining rig. So with that, we wanted to keep on that theme of making the cap table accessible. Normally, investors don't have the ability to invest in an early stage company unless they're an accredited investor. But unless you have, you're making hundreds of thousands of dollars per year over the past couple of years, or you have a certain net worth of over $1 million, then you don't have the ability to invest in these types of companies. And so we had raised from accredited investors, angels, leading up until this point. And then we're stuck with the decision of, okay, which route do we go? Do we want to go the crowdfunding route, or do we want to go pure angels, VCs, accredited investors? And we decided to make it open to anyone, so anyone could participate.
Good. Thanks, William, for this chat. I hope it was enlightening to many of the people listening online. Thanks.
Welcome to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing, where we harmonize your mind, body, and soul. I'm Amanda, your sound therapy expert.
And I'm Stephen, the curious explorer uncovering the mysteries of sound.
Together, we explore vibrations, frequencies, and the power of sound therapy and tuning forks.
Discover ancient wisdom, reduce stress, and tune into a healthier life. Subscribe to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing today.
Welcome to Ringside with Ray and Prince. My name is Ray Leonard Jr.
Oh, is that the chair?
No, that's just my dad.
My name is Prince Daniels Jr.
Daniels again with a big home touchdown.
On this show, we come to humanize
athletes, entertainers, business executives. We're going to see what makes them tick.
Tuesdays, 10 a.m. Pacific time on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll see you there. Peace and power.
Electric Acid. Again.